the 12 Inquiries teaching, as well as all of the Great Freedom written and verbal teachings, dispenses with all claustrophobia. Whether it's physical claustrophobia, mental claustrophobia, emotional claustrophobia, social claustrophobia, spatial claustrophobia, and that comes about by the single potent means of short moments of awareness repeated many times until it becomes automatic. Now, for most people, that will be like a tortoise taking a long walk. That process of the openness of awareness becoming more and more obvious, little by little, the openness of awareness and its lucidity and its pure presence become more and more obvious. And unlike other things where there's some foothold gained and then there's a falling back, in awareness there's never any falling back. And so that is really profound. It increases even if it's little by little. And then for some people, awareness opens up more quickly, so there can be quantum leaps in opening. In other words, there could be a moment when emptiness is clearly understood. That from that moment on, it's understood that all points of view that appear within the pure view of awareness are pure themselves. That can be understood, instinctively realized, and then from then on it requires no thinking. No thinking whatsoever. Or there might be the sudden instinctive realization of everything appearing within awareness as a point of view, and then from then on no thought or reasoning is required to uphold that. Or there might be the realization of utter lucidity, that everything is not only lucid and pure, but that it's also timelessly aware. And again, this just becomes the instinctive realization of the nature of reality without any need to think about it. It doesn't require any objective support that's formed by words or syllables. And all of this comes about by short moments of awareness repeated many times, slowly, quantum leaps, or suddenly. For some people, just the first time they hear the introduction to awareness, that's it. They're so confident and so convicted, and it's so clear from that moment on that that's the way things are, that they just keep showing up, and there's never really a need to make any effort whatsoever. The conviction just dawns more and more and more, just by simply hearing the teachings it's clear that this would be the case, because reality is already so. It's already the case. It's already present within us, the utterly lucid reality of pure awareness that is a vast and infinite expanse, is already present within us in the same way that oil is present in a sesame seed, or butter is present in cream. But just like with a sesame seed needs to be pressed in order for the oil to be expressed. And then by doing that, you look at a sesame seed and you wouldn't automatically see a bottle of sesame oil inside it. But by pressing those sesame seeds, you can endlessly fill all kinds of bottles with sesame oil. And in the same way, when we rest for short moments of awareness repeated many times, these qualities and activities of awareness that have been invisible to us, just like the oil and the sesame seed, they become more and more obvious. And as we place our confidence in awareness rather than in all our stories based on the descriptions of points of view, then what we've seen is an expanse of descriptions stretching endlessly in all directions is replaced by the basic space of the utter lucidity of awareness. Now, the basic space of the utter lucidity of awareness is already present within all of those descriptions, but like with the oil and the sesame seed, it isn't seen unless it is noticed. And then the same is true with butter being naturally occurring within cream. We can look at the butter or the cream and think about it and wish it would turn into butter and just really hope that we could have some butter for our toast or whatever we want for to bake our cake. But we could wish that forever. But unless we really expose ourselves to that butter by churning the cream and making it come about, it won't be obvious to us. The butter won't be obvious. So in this simple way, if awareness isn't obvious at first, then by just once it is introduced, by relying on short moments of awareness repeated many times until it becomes automatic, these qualities just naturally become more and more obvious, the qualities of awareness. So we're not talking about some kind of aware state we enter into where we're like the walking dead. And so nowadays we see many people who say, oh yes, awareness, sure, I'm aware all the time. And they might look like the walking dead, you know, they're walking around in some kind of disconnected state. Well, this isn't awareness at all. Awareness is filled with profound, remarkable qualities and activities, and those qualities are the opposite of some kind of claustrophobic notion of being aware and or being all caught up in another kind of description. The qualities of awareness are complete and perfect mental and emotional stability. So this is something very practical. This is something that shows up as an actual demonstration in our life, just like the sesame oil shows up when we press the sesame seeds. Complete and perfect mental stability and emotional stability as well. Also, profound insight. In other words, we no longer have to scamper after all the descriptions to have insight and figure out what's going on. Rather, we rely on the profound insight of awareness. And so this too appears through short moments many times. From the very first moment of awareness, these remarkable qualities appear. Just like if we press sesame seeds only one time, some of the oil would come out. So too with resting for short moments of awareness repeated many times, the qualities of perfect mental and emotional stability and profound insight come about from the very first. And then to compassion, a feeling of profound compassion that does not need to be cultivated. It's just naturally occurring. It's naturally occurring within the basic space of awareness itself. This too is another demonstration, practical demonstration of awareness in our own life and in our own body and mind. And then also we find that we're more and more skillful in life from the very beginning. We're not only aware and stable mentally and emotionally and insightful and compassionate, but we're skillful in our actual activities of life. And so in this way, our perception is refined and it opens up more and more into and as the basic space of utter lucidity. So there's no reason to complicate this with a lot of descriptions and dialogue, no matter what those descriptions are that you've learned to describe yourself, whether it's feeling being or the heart or the wound or emotional character or whatever it is. Now treat all of these just as simple points of view appearing in awareness. They don't refer to anything but awareness. And so there's no need to have any claustrophobic sense about what any of these descriptions mean. This is very, very important. When we are initially gaining confidence in awareness, we want to gain confidence in a way that is undistracted. In other words, the focus is on awareness and not being distracted by the stories based on all the points of view appearing within awareness. We're not trying to connect the dots of points of view any longer to create meaning. We're finding meaning in the indwelling confidence of awareness. And so in the beginning, it's this way. But as we gain confidence in awareness, it doesn't matter what kind of thoughts are proliferating and resolving. What was initially distracting is no longer distracting. Do you understand what is being said here? So there can be all kinds of thoughts and emotions proliferating and resolving. However, more and more the utter lucidity of timeless awareness outshines all these points of view in the same way that daybreak and the light of high noon outshine all the planets and stars. Just like all the planets and stars are so visible on a clear night, so too in non-recognition of awareness, all that is visible are countless, ceaseless points of view. But when high noon appears, it outshines all planets and stars, even the very last ones, Venus or whatever, might be visible for a while. They're all completely outshone and they're not visible anymore. In the same way, all points of view are outshone, first those that are most overt, and then the more subtle ones. And so all of this comes about by the power, the single power of short moments repeated many times. Nothing else is needed. So you see, every description you've ever learned to describe yourself in any way, it no longer refers to you. It simply does not refer to you. Your reference points are always simultaneously resolving in primordial purity. They simultaneously resolve in primordial purity. Even if you have say you have an emotion, you feel something come over you, a mood, that's a viewpoint within awareness. then say you label that vulnerability. That's another viewpoint appearing within awareness. The two aren't connected to each other. They're both viewpoints of primordial purity. That's the only way they're connected. They have no causal connection. Then, once it's labeled as vulnerability, I feel vulnerable because more points of view, the I point of view, the feeling point of view, the vulnerability point of view. So all these are just points of view, the pure presence of awareness simultaneously appearing and resolving within its own utterly lucid basic space. And so you see there's absolutely nothing to be done, but at first it is important to not be distracted by the story, unless from the very beginning it is possible for you to be just utterly lucid no matter what is happening, and that's extremely rare. There's no need to pretend or fool yourself about where you are. You know whether you become absorbed in points of view. You know whether that claustrophobia moves in. It's just like the fog here on the coast of Northern California. When there's fog, you can't really see the horizon of the ocean, or even that the ocean's there. When there's dense fog, you can't really see anything. But once the sun burns away the fog, everything is pristine and clear. And so too, by the power of the sun of awareness, it burns away the entire claustrophobic fog of points of view. Now, when we look at it in a practical way, we just need to be entirely ready to let point of view be as it is. In other words, we no longer cling to all the descriptions of who we are that we've put together from what people have told us about ourselves, what we've read in books, and what we've decided within our own mind about ourselves. We no longer invest in those descriptions. The sole identification is with awareness and its wisdom powers. And we keep it simple. We keep it totally simple. Everything that appears is a point of view appearing within the pure view of awareness. That's it. If you make it any more complicated than that, then it's just a disservice to yourself. It's a sadness. It's a way of being unkind to yourself. It's just as simple as that, because it really is so simple. Like we said, the nature of reality itself is already present. It isn't inaccessible at all. We just need to take notice until it's obvious at all times. And we take notice by the power of short moments of awareness, repeated many times until it becomes continuous, until it becomes automatic. Nothing else is needed. So you see, if you've tricked yourself into being obsessed with personal and or spiritual development, then you have developed an obsessive focus and identification with that. It's a compulsion. An obsessive-compulsive disorder, you could call it. Non-recognition of awareness is an obsessive-compulsive disorder. And so when you take a moment of awareness, where is that? Where is the need to spiritually or personally develop yourself? When you take a moment of awareness, where is there someone who needs to be spiritually and or personally developed? Where is that person? There's only I. Once in a while, You might have a point of view where you think about yourself as a person, but really it's exceedingly rare. So you see this idea that you are somebody, it's just an entirely claustrophobic notion that is completely unnecessary. It's like walking into a complete dark space and not being able to see anything at all. Clearly, you can't see anything because it's just so dark. And this is the way non-recognition of awareness is. It obscures everything that's true about your own being. Yet that is true about your own being is already present. It's already present and it's revealed to you in short moments, repeated many times. Even if you were totally resistant to short moments of awareness and you didn't really want to do it, but you just decided to do it anyway because you were going to prove that it didn't work. And you kept it up. Then the longest it could possibly take, if you were the most diehard rebel and you didn't really want to have anything to do with it, but you were just going to do it so you could prove everybody wrong. You're just one of those arrogant people. Arrogance is a big point of view for you, so you're going to prove that it couldn't possibly work. And, all that would resolve, you know, the rebellion, the arrogance, it would just disappear in the basic space of awareness. And even if you kept that up for a long time and your arrogance is, I'm going to prove they're wrong, if that kept up and persisted for years, you could never make it past the 7-year mark, even if you were a total diehard and you completely refuse to believe that it would work. So, there's no way you could ever not be aware. And, you know, finally you'd say, oh, well, is it worth proving them wrong? And so short moments of awareness repeated many times become automatic. What can be said about the Great Freedom Teachings is that they are a direct expression of pure presence. And even though they look like they're made of words and syllables, the words and syllables are not like many words and syllables. Many words and syllables and phrases have no power whatsoever to refine our perception into a vast expanse of complete perceptual openness in all experience. Most words and syllables and phrases, we take them on and allow them to have the effect of being claustrophobic, of locking us up in paranoia and irritation and social malaise and personal malaise. And so the words and syllables and phrases of the Great Freedom Teaching aren't like that. They're very potent words and syllables, whether they're spoken or written. And whether they're in the 12 Inquiries or one of the other teachings, they have a unique and very profound power. And that is the power of completely changing the way you perceive yourself in the world. And, you know, you could probably just carry around the teachings in a little bag and never even look at them. And after a while, you'd find the way you look at things changing. And so, Really, for many of us, when we hear these words, we recognize them as the words we've been waiting to hear our whole life. So we recognize this right away. Wow, this is from the first moment my mother looked in my eyes. This is what I've been waiting to hear. Been waiting to hear these words. And if we have all these ideas about ourselves as a brain and a heart and this, that, and the other thing, well, I'll tell you a story that a Tibetan man told me at one time. He said, now this is a person who is a profound master of awareness, a profound master of awareness. And he said to me, you know, in the West, you're all looking for everything with your brain. And he said, in Tibet, we look at everything from the heart. We're all interested in the heart. In the West, everybody's interested in the brain. He said, but, you know, in Tibet, most of Tibet is above 11,000 feet in elevation. So most, and the ground is mountainous, and so it's hard to dig holes to bury people when they die. So usually people are just put on the mountainside and then the buzzards pick them apart and that's the end. And he said, I'll tell you what, when a body is up there on the mountainside, the buzzard doesn't care which is the mind and which is the heart. And so you see, all of these, what are they? Points of view appearing in awareness. But if we get identified with them being something, then we'll be claustrophobic. We'll be spatially claustrophobic, caught up in that description, as though it really is something. Now, we've all heard these descriptions galore, whether they're spiritual or scientific or what, psychological or whatever they are. But how important are they to you in terms of clinging to them? No matter how glorious they may sound, no matter how much they may titillate your intellect and emotional life and everything, when you read them, who cares? You know, who cares about descriptions that keep you locked up in some kind of idea of yourself, no matter what they are? The energy's moving this way and that way, and the clear energy in it, dripping down from this point in the head to that point in the pit of the stomach or whatever it is. Now, how important are these to you compared to the instinctive realization of timeless awareness that is to be found in short moments repeated many times, quickly and surely? How important is it to hold on to all these descriptions? Have any of these descriptions ever given you an instinctive realization of yourself that is steadily increasing with great profundity in a way that is erasing all of your habitual patterns and all of your ideas that have characterized you and your personality? Although these things that we read may titillate us and send us off on some fantasy trip of wishful thinking about how good they're going to make our life, if they haven't done so by now, they're not going to. So why continue to cling to them? Descriptions are of no use whatsoever unless they're the kind of description, the type of description that carries the power of completely resolving all your habitual patterns just by the words being spoken or read. These kinds of words are not like other words. They're like the lion roaring in the savannah. When the lion roars, all the other animals fall still. the lion is the king, and when the lion roars, all of the other animals fall, take heed. The insects, everything, all the little wings quiet down. Mm-hmm. Where's the lion? And what's going on? And this is the same way with the potent words of awareness, certain kinds of words that bring everything to a dead stop. Our habitual patterns we've been working on forever through methods of personal development or spiritual development or whatever we call it, psychological development, all of a sudden they don't bother us anymore. Maybe it happens one by one or a group at a time or whatever it is, but all of a sudden we say to ourselves, wow, I used to be resentful at my mother. I was so resentful I could barely stand to think about her, and now there's just an open space. And I even find myself feeling compassionate or whatever it might be. So you see, these are the demonstrations of awareness. This is what profound mental and emotional stability are. It's that great openness in which there's nothing to hang on to. There's nothing to take up. Not the point of view of yourself, or not the point of view of anyone else, or not any point of view. There's no claustrophobic situation to enter into. Short moments repeated many times become automatic. Nothing to do. Take it easy. When you encounter yourself, when you really encounter yourself, it is such a relief. It can be unbelievable. It can be unbelievable. It can seem totally unbelievable. It's such a relief compared to the prior experience of life that you just don't know how you're going to adjust to that relief. And this is the one of the beauties of short moments many times. Gradually, it becomes clear that it's all right. It's okay. It's okay to abide as that great and potent relief.